This morning, I'm going to talk about a subject. I'm going to talk about weight and burnout. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter where you're at in your life. There is going to come a point in your time that life just gets heavy. Life weighs you down. Life comes against you. And it doesn't matter if you've been married for 50 years. It doesn't matter. I heard about a guy the other day that him and his wife, after 50 years of marriage, in the middle of their 70s, they decided they were sick and tired of being sick and tired of looking at each other. And they decided they were going to get divorced and do something else. And I figure if you've been involved, I mean, well, man, why mess it up now? I mean, come on. The world that we live in is heavy. There's a weight. There's just so much to it and the things that are going on. And so if you can identify things in your life that might be creating burnout, if you can identify things in your life that are saying, wait a minute, hold on, maybe I need to pump the brakes. Maybe I need to do something about this. Maybe I've got too much weight in my life or too many weighty things that are attached to me right now, that if you can identify it and take care of it, that you can eliminate some stresses, some things in your future. There are some situations that if something doesn't change, there's going to be a crash. If something isn't recalibrated, if something isn't adjusted, if something isn't fixed, if something isn't strained out, there is going to be a crash in your future. And so we are constantly having to recalibrate, constantly having to adjust, constantly having to make up our minds that we've got to change some things, tweak some things, work on some things, fix some things, make sure that some things are right in our lives, because just because you set the course doesn't mean you're still on the course. Just because you planned on leaving at a certain time and getting somewhere at a certain time doesn't mean that that's going to happen in your life. And so you've got to be diligent. You've got to look ahead. You can't just live in what's going on just today and just, you've got to make sure that where you want to be, where you want your marriage to be, where you want your walk with God to be, where you want your children to be, as much as you can be involved in that, where you want that to be next year, 5 years from now, 10 years from now, that we've got to begin to do things today that are going to create healthy habits that create the end result that we want in our marriage and our lives and the things that are going on. So this morning I'd like to read from 2 Samuel, the 11th chapter and the first verse, and then I'm also going to read from Galatians, the 5th chapter and the 16th verse. This first reading is one of the saddest stories in the Bible. This is one of the, possibly one of the to me, top three greatest men that are in the Bible. And so we find this situation where this great man finds himself burned out, weighted down, not happy with the situation, not happy in his relationships, not happy with life, not happy with where he's at. And in the midst of this, instead of doing what he should have been doing, we find him making decisions that completely impacted his life, his family's life, and a nation's life. So 2 Samuel 11 and 1, it says, "And it came to pass after the year was expired and the time when the kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab his servant with him." It says, "And all of Israel, and they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Reba. But David tarried still at Jerusalem. And it came to pass, that in the evening tide, that David arose from off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman washing herself, and the woman was very beautiful to look upon. And David sent and inquired after the woman, and one said, 'Is it not Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite?' And David sent messengers, took her, and she came unto him and laid with her. And she was purified from uncleanness, and she returned unto the house, and the woman conceived. And she sent and told David and said, 'I am with child.'" And we've got a mess. A mess that was never meant to be, a mess that never should have been, a mess that should have never happened. But now we've got a mess. A man after God's own heart in the middle of a mess. A man that loved God in the middle of a mess. A man that never, ever, ever looked into his future and said, "This will ever be a part of what I do and who I am." This was a man that would watch other people's flocks hoping for a gift, and now he's willing to murder friends and family to get what he wanted, to cover up his weight and his heaviness. Galatians 5:16, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and those are contrary the one to another, so that ye cannot do those things which ye should." Lord, I pray that you would anoint my lips of clay, that you would speak into our hearts and our minds today. Lord, that you would strengthen today, oh God. Lord, that you would bring the light. Lord, that you would examine us. Lord, that you would speak into our hearts and our minds, and that you would allow us to run this race that is set before us. Lord, that you would help us today, oh God. In your name we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. I'm going to have to hurry this morning if I'm going to finish this, or I might have to break it up into 2 weeks. But we've got to understand that the weight of life, the heaviness, the things that we feel, the responsibilities of just work, mortgage, car notes, silly debt that's been picked up, whatever it is that's in your life that creates distraction, that creates the weight in your life, decisions that family members have made, decisions that children have made, the things that have gone on, the situations that are around you, whatever it is, there is always going to be weight in your life, whether it's your marriage, your kids, the people around you, the dynamics at work, your health, the crisis, the things that are around you. There's always going to be difficulties. There's always going to be stressed. And we're always going to struggle with pride. We've been talking about pride the last couple of weeks. And pride is something that keeps us from reaching out. It keeps us from looking for help. It makes us strive to act like everything is okay when we do have struggles, when life is hard. And then with pride, we find ourselves in the midst of fear, because now we understand that things are beginning to unravel and they're beginning to get out of our control. And so now our pride keeps us from looking for help. Prideful people don't need help. Prideful people won't ask for help. But now we also live in fear because we don't know how in the world we're going to fix the situations that we're living in. It's Hebrews 12:1. "Therefore, seeing we are so compassed about with a great cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." We see here is David had pressure in his life. David was king. David had the weight of an entire nation on his shoulders. And it was more than just a family situation. It was a nation situation. The economy was his responsibility. What came in, what went out, protection of the borders, the things that happened, constantly having to make sure that the Ammonites and the Philistines were pushed back, and they understood who was the boss, and they understood that they couldn't just come in like they used to and take things from them. The pressure that he lived with was great. The pressure that he lived with put a strain on his life. I imagine it put a strain on his marriages. I imagine marriages, that'll put a strain, period. You just add more than one, marriages. He was not a smart man. And so that's another sermon in a different story, because the king was only supposed to have one wife, and that's in the law. And so, but here he is with all of this pressure and all of this stuff and all of these things that are going on in his life. And we read in chapter 10 where David sends out Joab to fight and Amnon. And he goes and he fights and he has some victories, but he does not completely overcome Amnon. It isn't until David shows up and stands in his rightful place that they are able to defeat the Ammonites. See, we've got to understand that so many times we like to sit in the back and hope that somebody else will do the fight. We want to sit in the back and we want somebody else to be out front. We want somebody else to do it. We want somebody else to take care of it. When it comes to your family, you've got to be out front, because if you're out front, nobody else is going to be out front. They had victories. They had some success, but they couldn't have complete victory until the king, the priest of the home, was in his rightful place. And so if we find ourselves always hiding behind the lines, always trying to stay back, always trying to let somebody else be out front. Let somebody else take care of it. I'm too busy. I've got too much going on. I don't have time to pray. I don't have time to do. I'm busy with all of this. I'll take care of bringing home the bacon and you take, or whatever it is. We've got to understand that before Israel could have its victory, the priest had to be out front. The man in charge had to be a part of what was going on. Now you might you might be here this morning, and you might be the spiritual leader of your home, and you've got to make sure that just because somebody else doesn't want to take that role doesn't mean that you've got to you need to step back and wait with them. You've got to push. You've got to pray. You've got to call out things. You've got to be speaking things. You've got to make sure that God is in your home and that His presence is in your home. Because David quit doing what David was supposed to do. David stepped back and he went on break. We see in chapter 10 where he started going on break, where he would send Joab out to do things that he was supposed to do. He finally goes out. They win the battle. Then we see in chapter 11 where he does it again. He sends Joab out to fight, and he stays at home again. He relaxes again. He's there hanging out again. And we find him, as things must have been troubling him, because it says that in the evening time he gets up and he gets out of bed and he walks up on the roof. He's out in the middle of the night wandering around. He's out in the middle of the night walking on the roof. There's something going on there. There's something restless about his sleep. There's something that is happening in his life that is stirring him up. He is not at peace. He is not comfortable. There is something that is going on inside of him. We read where he would pray at night. We read where he would write psalms and different things. But here we find him not praying, not writing psalms, not meditating upon the Lord. We find him out wandering around in the middle of the night. This is where he finds himself, and he finds himself in a bad place. My granddad used to always tell me, and I haven't always lived by it, but what you do between the hours of 10 and 2 will determine how successful you are. What you do between the hours of 10 and 2 will determine how successful you are. If you're awake between 10 and 2 partying and having fun, then that's going to determine what's going to happen that next day. If you're in bed asleep sometime between those hours, you're going to get up earlier. You're going to be more successful at what you're doing. You're going to be more rested. You're going to have more energy. And so we've got to understand the importance of that in our lives, that just staying up all night, just wandering around all night, just taking a couple nights every night a week, and stay. Some of you, if you just quit staying up till 4 a.m. one night a week, that one night that you just take as your night to relax and just have fun, that night sets you back for the whole week, and you don't gain anything out of it, and you're just tired and trying to catch up the entire time. So here are some things that you can realize in your life that you might be seeing some signs of something of heavy in your life. One, your passion begins to fade. Whether it's your passion for your relationship with God, whether it's your passion in your relationship with your spouse, whether it's your passion in your relationship with being a parent or work or whatever it might be in your life, your passion begins to fade in your life. You remember when there was passion in your life. You remember when there were things that could get you excited, things that made you happy, things that when you would accomplish something at work, when your children would do something, or things would happen in your life, and there were things that created an excitement in your life. But those exciting moments, that passion, that drive, that thing that used to get you up in the morning is no longer there. That thing that used to get you out of bed, that thing that used to drive you, that thing that used to get you excited is no longer in your life. The highs and the lows are no longer there. It's just like there's no highs and there's no low. It's just all low. It just, we just kind of get numb with life. In order for us to feel excitement, something huge has got to happen. I think that's why David did what he did. He had found himself in such a in his life that in order for him to feel excitement, he had to do something crazy for him to feel the emotion that he wanted to feel. He had seven wives and 10 concubines at home. But none of that could get him out of the, it had nothing to do with that. It had everything to do with where he was spiritually. And we find ourselves and we get in that lull and we get in that place and it's just kind of a coasting, just kind of numb with life, just kind of just going through life. Nothing excites, nothing. It's just another day, another hour, another time. And we've got to have something big if you've got to have something big in your life to excite you, you might want to take a step back and say, wait a minute, what's going on in my world? I live in the greatest country in the world. I live in a great state. I've got food in my cupboard. I've got family. I've got friends. Why am I in this place? Why am I having to look for something else to create excitement in my life? Why did David have to look outside of all that he had to find something else to get him excited? See, you've got to understand that if you find yourself in that place to get what you think you've got to have, you can justify it because you've been in that for so long. And you say, well, I feel again. I feel life again. I feel excited again. I feel this again. I've been in that spot for a year, 2 years, 5 years, whatever it is. And now I'm feeling some life. And if you're getting life from somewhere that's not a life source, then it's probably something you need to take a step back and say, what's going on here? What do I need to look at? What's going on around me? What's happening around me? When every little thing just disappoints you, it doesn't matter if it's something on the job or whether it's the dishwasher didn't get unloaded or whether your tire get in the car and your tire gauge is a little bit low and the light comes on and you find yourself angry and frustrated. You find yourself going beyond how you normally respond to these certain things, and you find yourself angry and frustrated and lashing out and responding to things that you shouldn't respond that way, and you know it, and you afterwards you're like, why did I do that? You treat small things like big things and big things like small things, and all of a sudden you got to take a step back and wait a minute. Maybe there's some weight. Maybe there's some burnout in my life. Maybe there's some things going on that I need to look at, that I need to reevaluate, that I need to adjust, to recalibrate my life. When everything drains you, just to get out of the house and thinking about going to the mall is like, just to go get gas is, just to order groceries online to pull up in Walmart and let them put it in your trunk is, when everything drains you, all right, God, what's going on in my life? You didn't create me to live this way. You didn't create me to go through this. You didn't create me to be in this place. When everything around you becomes, you find yourself becoming a cynic. You get what you speak. The power of death and life are in the tongue. Death always comes before that. We always say life and death because it kind of flows better, but it's death and life. It's in your mouth, and what you speak, you are going to get. That's what you're speaking. That's what you're getting. That's what you've got going. Cynicism never finds a home in a healthy heart. Cynicism is always created in an atmosphere where something is not right, where something is going on, where there's too much weight, where something is not calibrated right, where there's too much weight on one side and not the other. There's something going on there. We've got to understand that in order to have a healthy heart, a healthy home, a healthy marriage, there's some things that we can't allow into our lives, because you'll become a cynic about your marriage, about your children, about your job, about your church, about your vehicle, about everything in your life, and everything is wrong with everything. And the truth of the matter is, the only thing that's wrong is us. But when you're a cynic, it's everybody else's fault. Nothing satisfies you. Sleep doesn't satisfy you. Prayer doesn't satisfy you. Church doesn't satisfy you. Good people don't satisfy you. Recreation doesn't satisfy you. Vacation doesn't satisfy you. Work doesn't satisfy you. Going down to your favorite restaurant doesn't satisfy you. Maybe for a moment, but just, it's just nothing is good enough. Nothing is right. Everything is just, See, we've got to understand God gave us emotions for a reason. There are going to be highs and there are going to be lows. There are going to be things in our lives, and we've got to understand that God needs us to be healthy so that we can handle what's going on, the good days, and that we're strong enough to handle the bad days. When you can't think straight, when a successful day just seems simply avoiding stupid is a win. That you just can't think straight. You just can't get it together. You just got so many things. You forget little things that used to be things that you always remembered. Just small things that are constantly out of place in your life. That you just can't seem to think straight. You say things you know you shouldn't have said. You think things you know you shouldn't have thought. You misplace, put things, have things strode. Things that you're normally have on, that you're on top of are now completely out of whack in your life. Your productivity drops, that you realize that on your job or at home that used to when you walked in the house that most things were in their place, but now when you walk in, it's almost overwhelming because everything is out of place and productivity has dropped in your life. We begin to self-medicate. We begin to find ways to numb ourselves. Why do you think there's such a drug problem in the United States of America? Because everybody wants to be numb to life, the heaviness, the weight of it. Let's just be numb to it. Let's just be numb to our thoughts. Let's just be numb to what's going on. Let's try to remove the stress and the pressure out of our lives. When I use something to self-medicate, I'm telling God that He is not big enough to handle the stresses that are in my life. Now, you can self-medicate, whether it be sleeping pills, whether it be Tylenol PM, whether it be finding some kind of something that you can self-medicate with food. You can self-medicate with your work. You can do it with drugs and alcohol, impulsive spending. I know people that get depressed and they'll max a $5,000 credit card out in about 27 and a half seconds. And they feel, all right, I feel better. The problem is they're going to be paying on it for the next 27 and a half years. But we find ways to self-medicate, find ways to numb ourselves, find ways to feel good about what's going on in our lives, that whatever it might be, whether it be some kind of addiction, whether it be some kind of impurity, whether it be some kind of something that gives you that momentary excitement, that you have to find that moment where there's something there, that there's some kind of a thrill in your life, whether it be some way of gambling your money or finding that moment of life being inside of you and that thrill of existence again. When I was on the youth committee, you know, a bunch of 30-year-old men that still think they've got a little bit of athletic ability. And they would take us down and put us in bumper cars and give us these not hockey sticks, but a lacrosse, like lacrosse things. And we'd be in bumper cars with these lacrosse things trying to throw it to a basketball goal with a hole in it. And you want to put a bunch of 30-year-old guys that still think they've got a little bit of something, man, it would get violent. They'd be trying to throw elbows and getting down. And man, we all got the Holy Ghost. And, man, people would be getting intense. Just I felt like we had it again because we could actually do something on the court because none of us were running anywhere. And what was even better is they took my dad up there and they put a bunch of 65-year-old men in these so give that opportunity to feel like they still got it a little bit. And he said it was amazing. They had so much fun because they were competitive and they didn't have to run, so it was good. And so we find these things, just trying to find that I still got it, or I feel good, or what's going on in our lives. We find ourselves that things that used to make us laugh don't make us laugh anymore. The jokes that used to make us laugh, the people that used to make us laugh, the situations that used to make us laugh, the shows that used to make us laugh are just, it's just there. It's just life. It's just, you know, well, maybe something else, maybe, and it just, you know, somewhere along the way, you've got to find your way out of You've got to understand that. So it's not just, I'm just take a couple of days and I'll bounce back. When you get to that place, it's going to take some serious change in your life. When you get to that place, it's not just, well, I'm going to bounce back from it. When you get to that place, you've got to start looking into your future and looking at your day to day and beginning to make up your mind. I'm going to make some changes in my life that are going to get me out of this situation. I'm going to make some changes in my life that are going to help propel me out of this place. So many, I don't know how to get out of this place. I don't know what I'm going to do in this place. I don't understand what's happening in this place. I don't have time to go into it this week because it's too important. I'm going to save it for next Sunday morning. But we've got to understand that there's got to be some areas in our lives that this week, as you begin to think about it, if there's anything that I mentioned here this morning, if there's anything that I've said this morning, that if you're in financial straits and you've got trouble paying your bills because the only thing you can, anytime you feel good, is when you buy the same sweater that you've got 47 other of them just like it in the closet, but that feeling is what brings life into your life. That is not the will of God. If you sit down at your computer and that whatever it is that you pull up in front of you is the only thing that brings a spark into your life, that is not the will of God. If that friendship on the job is the only thing that gives you a little pep in your step, and you know, like David as he stood there in the middle of the night knowing that he should have been off at war, it is not the will of God. You've got to understand that somewhere along the way, you've got to take responsibility for yourself because nobody else will. You've got to dig yourself out of this place. You've got to make up your mind that I'm not going to allow this to happen. You've got to wake up in the middle of the night when everything inside of you says it's time to walk and go look and see what there is. And you've got to find a place and say, you know what, God, I need you to help me. God, I need you to give me strength. God, I need you to put people in my life that I can trust. I need you, God, to help me to find people that I can talk to about my situation. I need you, God, to give me strength in the middle of this. I need you, God, to help me to find what it is that I need to do to fix the situation that's in my life, because if you don't, there is going to be an end to the situation. And yeah, you might recover. And yeah, you might pull yourself out of it. But what about the people around you? You might walk on streets of gold because you've got enough in you and you've had enough put in you through the years that you'll stand up and climb yourself out of it one day and it'll be a cool story. But the things that have fallen down around you will not be a good part of that story. Why? When it doesn't have to happen. They fought the entire time they tried to take that city of Reba. The entire time they warred. David was out hanging out. David got Bathsheba pregnant. Bathsheba had the baby. Months went on after that. David acted like everything was all right. Everything was good. They're still at war with Reba. And it wasn't until David took his spot where he was supposed to be that they got victory over Reba. Oh, God's speaking to somebody in this place today that you've got to make sure you get back to that spot. You've got to make sure that you stand in that place. You've got to make sure that whatever it takes for you to crawl, fight, whatever you've got to do to make sure, I've got to get back to where God needs me to be, because my family's depending on it. My marriage is depending on it. The people around me are depending on it. My church family is depending on it, because as long as you're just in the background, the fight is always going to happen. As long as you're trying to hide from it, as long as you're trying to self-medicate it, as long as you're just trying to stay numb, as long as you're up in the middle of the night between the hours of 10 and 2 wandering around the internet and what's going on in your life, that battle's always going to be there. But somewhere you've got to make up your mind, I'm stepping out into the forefront of this thing. I'm getting ahead of this mess. I'm getting back out in front of this. And no, it doesn't matter if I've got to make up my mind, I'm going to take take 3 days this week and I'm going to do nothing but drink water. I'm going to fast my way out of this. I'm going to pray my way out of this. I'm going to connect to people around me. I'm going to find help in the midst of this. I'm going to get over my pride and allow somebody else to join with me in the midst of this battle. Amen. Lord, I pray right now in the name of Jesus. I feel the Holy Ghost very strong in this place this morning. God, I pray that your spirit would move and flow in this place. Lord, you see every struggle, God. You see every situation. Lord, you see every person in this room, God, that something that was said this morning resonated with them, oh God. Lord, that it would cause us to take a step back and look into our futures and look at our present and say, God, I've got to recalibrate some things. There are some things that I've slacked up on. There's some things that maybe I've never added to my life, that today is the day, that now is the time, that there's some things that I've got to add to my life, Lord, because I want to make sure, God, that that path that you've designed for me, that race that you have set before me, that joy that is in my future that you have for my life, that I lay aside every weight and every sin that would keep me, God, from experiencing that glorious future that you have for my life. In Jesus' name. Oh, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Amen, 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 amen. Hallelujah. It can be done. You're not in this all by yourself. You are not alone. There are other people that are struggling just like you're struggling. There are other people. We don't all have it all together here this morning. We're here this morning because it's a room full of unperfect people, but we're trying to one day walk on streets of gold. We're trying to get to a place that, hey, God, here I am. Hey, look, I've gotten over this. I've gotten back out in front of it. I've overcame this, and I'm got some victory in Jesus' name. It's possible, and it's going to happen if you'll let him be a part of your process. And you take ownership. You take ownership. You take ownership. All right, God, I take ownership in Jesus' name.